Hello, and welcome to your GCSE English Literature Podcast Guide. I'm here to help you master Simon Armitage's powerful poem, The Manhunt. And trust me, once you understand what's really going on in this poem, you'll never forget it. This poem appears in the OCR conflict cluster, and it's one of the most emotionally charged pieces you'll study. It's based on a real soldier, Eddie Beddoes, who served as a peacekeeper in Bosnia and came home with both visible and invisible wounds. The poem is written from the perspective of his wife, Laura, and it traces her careful, tender search, not just for his physical injuries, but for the man he used to be before war changed him forever. Today, we're going to break down exactly what examiners want to see, explore the key techniques Armitage uses, and make sure you can confidently compare this poem with others in your cluster. Let's dive in. Core concepts, 5 minutes. First, let's talk about the title, The Manhunt. At first glance, you might think this is about searching for a missing person, but it's far more complex than that. The speaker is hunting for her husband's lost identity, his buried emotions, the person he was before trauma took hold. This is a psychological manhunt, not a physical one. The poem is structured in couplets, pairs of lines, and here's where it gets interesting. Most of these couplets don't rhyme. They're fragmented, broken, just like the soldier's body and mind. Armitage is using form to mirror content. When you write about this in your exam, use phrases like the fractured couplets visually represent the fragmented relationship, or the lack of consistent rhyme scheme reflects the disruption war has caused. Examiners love it when you link form to meaning. Now let's trace the journey of the poem. It starts with the speaker describing how she explores her husband's body. The frozen river of his shoulder blade, the porcelain collarbone. Notice the adjectives here, frozen, porcelain. These aren't warm living words. They suggest coldness, fragility, something that could shatter at any moment. The speaker has to be incredibly gentle, incredibly careful. The verb trace appears repeatedly. It's a delicate, tentative action, showing how cautious she must be. As we move through the poem, we go deeper. From the shoulder and collarbone on the surface, we move to the parachute silk of his punctured lung. Now we're inside the body, and the language becomes more visceral, more painful. The metaphor of parachute silk is brilliant. It's meant to save lives, but here it's punctured, damaged, unable to protect. And then we reach the emotional core of the poem, the fetus of metal beneath his chest. This is the bullet still lodged inside him, and Armitage calls it a fetus, something that should represent new life, but instead represents death. It's an oxymoron, a contradiction that captures the horror of having a piece of war permanently embedded in your body. This is the unexploded mind the speaker discovers, the trauma that could detonate at any moment. The final lines are crucial. Then and only then did I come close. After all this careful exploration, after all this tenderness, the speaker finally feels she's approaching the truth of her husband's suffering. But notice, she only comes close. She never fully reaches him. The poem ends with distance still between them, suggesting that war trauma creates a barrier that love alone cannot fully overcome. Exam tips and common mistakes, 2 minutes. Right, let's talk exam technique. This poem will almost certainly be compared with another conflict poem, likely Poppies by Jane Weir, which also deals with the domestic impact of war, or War Photographer by Carol Ann Duffy, which explores trauma and distance. When you're comparing, don't write about one poem and then the other. Integrate your comparison throughout. Use phrases like, similarly, Weir presents, or in contrast to Armitage's focus on physical injury, the second poem explores. Common mistakes to avoid. Don't just describe the injuries literally. Every physical detail is also a metaphor for psychological damage. Don't bolt on context at the end. Weave in the fact that Eddie Beddoes served in Bosnia, that this poem emerged from the Not Dead documentary about veterans with PTSD, and please don't ignore the form. The couplets, the lack of rhyme, the visual fragmentation on the page, these are all deliberate choices that earn you AO2 marks. Here's your mark scheme breakdown. AO1 is 30%. That's your interpretation and textual references. AO2 is 40%, that's analysis of language, form, and structure. AO3 is 20%, that's context. And AO4 is 10%, that's your comparison skills. You need to hit all four to reach the top levels. Quick fire recall quiz, 1 minute. Let's test your memory. pause after each question and answer out loud. Question 1. What does the metaphor frozen river suggest about the soldier's emotions? Question 2. Why does Armitage use the word porcelain to describe the collarbone? Question 3. What is the fetus of metal and why is it an oxymoron? Question 4. How does the structure of couplets reflect the poem's themes? Question 5. Name 2 poems from the conflict cluster you could compare with The Manhunt. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and review those sections. Summary and sign off. 1 minute. Let's wrap up. The Manhunt is a poem about love, trauma, and the invisible wounds of war. It moves from the physical to the psychological, from the surface to the depths, using fragmented couplets and powerful metaphors to show how war damages not just soldiers, but their relationships. When you write about this poem, remember, link form to meaning, integrate context naturally, compare throughout your response, and always explain the effect of the techniques you identify. Don't just spot them, analyze them. You've got this. Armitage has given you a poem packed with rich language and structure, and now you know exactly how to unlock it for maximum marks. Good luck in your exam, and remember, trace the journey from outside to inside, just like the speaker does. Thanks for listening and happy revising.